Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is December the 26th, 2024, and I have two special guests, and before I bring them up, I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays, and we got a lot of problems. We got a lot of good things going, too, but we're going to have a discussion about it. But Professor James Fetzer and Professor Joe, I welcome you both. Jim, I want you to start off and give us your opinion on what's going on in the political scene right now, in the world scene.
Well, it looks to me as though Russia is tying up the loose ends in Ukraine, and that there have been back-channel discussions between Trump and Putin, and Putin has made it very clear they're not going to relinquish the territories they have seized, including Crimea, the Donbass, and more. Such that Trump is now modifying statements he previously made, indicating he was going to be all in on the side of Zelensky. But that's not going to play out. Russia has control, and they've been demonstrating massive military superiority by exemplifying the use of these new missiles that are not just cybersonic, multiple warheads, very, very sophisticated stuff the West cannot deal with. So that I think that the situation there is going to calm down, and it's going to be resolved on Putin's terms. Now, the Middle East is another matter, because it appears that there was an effort by the United States to guarantee that Assad would fall before Trump came into office. There are many efforts here to undermine what he's attempting to do. For example, selling off all the additional border materials that were there, that they're rather expensive and unique in production, and Biden people want to sell them off for pennies on the dollar. They've already had them loaded up onto flatbed trucks, and they're going to auction them off. And I'm afraid we're going to see other measures of this order, where it's rather remarkable that The Hill, this is a publication for, you know, congressmen, their staffs. There's an actual call in The Hill to prevent Trump from inauguration based on that obscure clause of the 14th Amendment that's already been found not to apply. Anyone who has previously taken an oath to support the Constitution but who shall have engaged in an insurrection or rebellion against the same cannot be serve as an officer of the United States. I mean, that's ridiculous. It was brought up in the impeachment trials. It's found to be wanting. There are wonderful analyses and dissection. Not only was there no incitement, there was no insurrection. We know that Milley and other military refused to follow the orders of the commander-in-chief, which was in fact treason by them, not by Donald Trump.
Are you talking about that? Are you talking about January the 6th?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Sure, yes. Now, in case there's any doubt. Yeah,
I'll throw something out here real quick. Jim, if I may, I want to put something out. I saw a video of Jesse Waters on Fox News yesterday. I spent the whole day at Christmas. I was over here by myself, so I thought I'd spend the day, and I'd get on the internet, start searching stuff, because I heard about stuff, and I was looking, and I wanted to load it up. But Jesse Waters yesterday made a statement that there's an investigation into January the 6th, that the FBI, Ray, was up testifying before the Congress, and they asked him, were there any FBI agents among those that infiltrated the building itself? He goes, no. He said there were no FBI agents. He says, no. And then he plays the next clip of a very bold congressman or senator, and he brings it up. He says, what about FBI human resources? Did you have any of those? Those are convicted people that they say, okay, you're getting 20 years of life, but you're going to work for us for the next 5 years and infiltrate people and do things like this. They call them human, FBI human resources. But go ahead. They had them. They had them there. When you ask him, the FBI director, did he denied, and they found the documents and found that it's all true. And it's on this Jesse Waters program. Go ahead, Joe. They didn't
well,
go to jail.
We've long known the FBI was running January 6th. That's not news, but it's timely for it to be reaffirmed. Go ahead, Joel, your thoughts.
Oh, just they like to play the word games. And unless you use the exact word, they're not lying. They have human resources that work for the FBI. So it's a game of words, words. My biggest concern right now, of course, is the border, because it hasn't gone away. We're still being flooded, and it's becoming worse. The cartels control the border. The cartels control the border. And that's not good. Because then any retaliation, not going along with their program, brings about their wrath. And it's going to spill out as people who are gone all the way down to Panama and the Darien Gap, they have like people coming out of there that since the last earthquake, many of the Haitians went to Chile. They left and went to Chile. And so that is one of the reasons why for a while we were seeing nothing but Haitians coming through the border. Well, those guys, they have been pushed into such poverty for so many years that you do not want to meet one of those guys in a dark alley. Because the one thing that they do, I was told this a long time ago by a Nigerian. They have what is called the machete culture. They're experts with the use of a machete.
Oh, I am too. I like the one that the ex-Marine bought me for my birthday about 5 years ago, a neighbor. About $80. I mean, Jim, you'd love to have this one strap around your wrist. Oh, you cut a head off with that. Go ahead.
That's now, these guys, these Haitians, and I'm telling everybody, go to the internet, or no, go to YouTube, and find the documentary on voodoo. Familiarize yourself with voodoo, because what happened up there in Springfield, where they got overrun, it hasn't gone away. It's gotten worse. And those people, they deported a plane load of Haitians. The pilots barely got out of the plane with their lives. They tore up the entire inside of the aircraft. These people, because of starvation and privation, they are in a survival mode.
Which means they're in a killing mode.
That's right. And they're called, it's called the Night of the Machete. That's what the Nigerian guy told me.
God.
It's what you would call the day of revenge, and they use the machete. And these guys can explode out of nowhere. They're docile. They're not doing anything. Then all of a sudden, a wrong word is said, a wrong look is given, and instantaneously, the jungle comes out. And so, with the Haitian and the cartels, Trump is really going to have his hands full on this one.
Now, I'm going to throw something out. Biden, I heard on the news this morning or last night, that the rest of the steel for the border wall, which are long beams that they're using down there to build a border wall that had, I don't know how many more miles they can get out of it, but they, I forgot what the number was, they said they spent on it, but Biden's selling it for 5 cents on the dollar. Right now, to anybody that wants to buy it, the government's auctioning it off to make sure that that steel is not used in the furtherance of the border wall that Trump is planning on doing.
What you're talking about, Stu, is down at Yuma. And it was going to be used on to make the wall, but it has laid there now for 4 years. And so, to give you an example of how we aren't in tune with really what's happening down at the border, there's one section of where they put in cargo boxes, these big, huge cargo boxes, to try to extend the wall and make them go around. But what they can't show you is that every one of those places that they entered into the Yuma area, acres of crop have been ruined, because they'll trample across it to try to get from point A to point B, and an entire crop is wasted, costing millions of dollars. There have been now, one hospital now has closed down because the emergency facilities, them walking away and not paying the bill, a hospital went bankrupt. So you have a, really what it is, it's the wild, wild west all along the border. And it'll eventually work its way up. Like, for instance, I know I have a friend down in Houston, Texas. You do not go into the port of Houston unless you have business there. Otherwise, you stay out for your own safety. So this kind of, as Michael Young is calling it, we are at war. And there is going to be a war with these people that are here now. They're not going to go peaceably.
Joe.
The Haitian is not going to go back to what he escaped from. They eat people. Go ahead.
Okay, Jim, you're still there, aren't you? Jim?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I want to talk to you here in a moment about the bigger picture of the war and stuff and anything else you want to inject. But I want to say this, okay? Joe and I have talked about this for a long time. And you know, he's got an IQ about 250. I might have 150, and I don't know where yours is at, Fetzer, but it's way up there in the 250 range. Or better, who knows. But here's the deal. Just because your wisdom and knowledge and what you've learned over the years, they're attacking us through the immigrants, and we're fighting a war for Israel, greater Israel, that is an illegal country, really. The Palestinians had it in 1947. They buried 40,000 of them, these ones that were burying the true Hebrew. And there was a professor that from University of Jerusalem and Harvard or wherever it was, and I had it up on my internet site, and they took it down off YouTube, and I should have saved it. But he talked about this, genetics, and it was back at the time of Christ. They were the original ones. These ones now that are Khazarian Jews out of the Ukraine are the ones that took over Israel and the ones that were supplying Adolf Hitler with some true Hebrews to execute. There wasn't all these millions that were executed. That was all screwed up numbers. But here's the deal. We're over supporting Israel that's bombing Iran, bombing Lebanon, wiped out Palestine. I mean, and the amount of people are dead. And then you have in the Ukraine, which is greater Israel, you've got, about 600,000 are dead over there. Many of them were Christians and Muslims and Christianity. And these are some of the bloodline of the true Hebrews and so forth, and their own people. But this is, and they're over there killing generals in Russia. And Putin said, hey, that's what nuclear weapons are for, or something like that. He says, if you keep bombing us, okay? Now, we're supporting Israel. We're supporting Ukraine illegally, okay? They're part of Russia. And what we have is a big satanic, in the bigger picture, we've got these satanic fucks, that's all I can call them, fuckheads. They're Satanists, they're baby eaters, they drink the blood of children. 12 disciples of Satan at the very frigate top. 12 of them. Rockefeller, Rothschild, a lot of them, you know, they recently died, so somebody else took over for them. Henry Kissinger, my ex-father-in-law, Leonard Melman, now the fallen angel, alien, is Otis, super spook, Otis Johnson, 007, punching me in my website. You see a history of him. He said the NSA has 200,000 of them registered under the 1952 to 2012 alien agreement. And John Lear, test pilot, told me the same damn thing. Now, there's 200,000 of them. He says, your ex-father-in-law, he called me when he died. He says, still, your ex-father-in-law is dead in 2004. And I said, great. I said, maybe it takes some heat off me. He said, fuck, no, it won't. He says, you caused so much damage to Larry Mizell, it's pathetic, running MDC Holdings and Silverado and all the other illegal stuff he was doing, burying bodies in Juarez, Mexico, that were people that owned properties and stuff in Colorado. He says, no, Mizell wants your ass. He said, whatever lived in your ex-father-in-law lived for thousands of years before it inhabited him. He said, now, Larry Mizell was the chosen one by the disciples, the 12 disciples of Satan, which Milman was one of them, because he buried 150 bodies with John King, an ex-cop in Denver, buried him down in Juarez, Mexico. And King was actually charged with murder of 4 bank guards, the United Bank that Milman had, that they were the money counters from all the drugs over Colorado was going to United Bank. They was after Silverado was closed down. And he went in there with the card, put it in the back door, walked in and shot and killed 4 fucking money counters that they would bring the money from the bars. All these strip joints around Denver and stuff that they all owned. Anyway, here's the point. He was one of the 12 disciples of Satan. In a video with Robert Kennedy Jr., done by Tucker Carlson about 1 year ago, it said, but he posted it up as being a recent one. Now, I sent Joe the video. In there, Robert Kennedy Jr., he said, and I'm going to have it posted underneath this radio show and so forth, but this radio show is going to be at the top. Robert Kennedy Jr. says that the CIA, Alan Dulles, was involved in the Miami operation, which was called the CIA Planning Division. There's 2 divisions. He murdered John Kennedy. And then he talked about Cuba, what had happened the next day. Well, there was a memo. He mentioned Alan Dulles. He mentioned Hoover. But he didn't mention George Herbert Walker Bush. Now, on my website, I'm going to post up underneath this radio show a picture of Bush standing in front of the book depository store and a document, which was a memo from Hoover to CIA George Herbert Walker Bush and to Department of Defense, whoever it was. I forgot that was a lead there. I'm going to post up with the show. Now, Kennedy got into the fact that the CIA murdered his uncle, murdered his father. He explained why in both incidents. And he explained all this other stuff about 9-1-1 and then the anthrax attacks afterwards. A reporter with the Weekly World News got anthraxed over writing a story about McVeigh going out the back door that I gave him. and he confirmed it 3 months later. His boss's name run. It was day 4911. That reporter was dead of anthrax 3 days later. Now, here's the point. He mentioned that. There's so much truth in this one-hour video with Tucker Carlson. I could not believe it. He went into everything. I mean, he talked about the biological, chemical agents that we're storing over in Ukraine, the largest stockpile in the world. We're not storing them there. George Herbert Walker Bush sold them to them illegally. They came out of K-State up in Manhattan. That's where they were developing them. And that's where they developed what's called liquefaction. You'll love this one, Jim. This is super top secret. You take four Marines. Two are carrying this device. It's not 350 pounds. And there's two more Marines over here 10 miles away on the other side of this big battlefield. And there's 20 tanks in the middle and all these armed everybody. They crank on the machines that can't even hear them. It turns to liquefaction. And it makes the ground turn to quicksand, and everything drops into the ground. You still there, Jim?
Yes.
Okay, Joe, you still there? Yes. They sent those biological chemical agents, and they killed a professor that I know, okay? And his wife's hiding out in another country to stay alive, and a whole bit, but they sold those to Ukraine. Now, Kennedy mentioned that. But he thought it was a stockpile of the U.S. government. It isn't. He mentioned so much stuff. Now, Joe, you watched that video, I believe. I mean, he said so much truth in there. But there's some stuff that I believe that Jim Fetzer, Joe, myself, and other Americans can add to that. So I'm going to ask everybody to watch that video because this guy is going to be in charge of the health department. Okay? Now, it gives him the right to stop the chemicals spraying our plants that were eating the food to make it grow faster, to sell more. It's hurting the human race. I mean, he talked about what he's going to do, except about vaccinations, in this video with Tucker Carlson. But I'll have it up there. But now, Jim, in the bigger picture, here's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing Greater Israel and Biden trying to start World War III before Trump gets in office. Could that be true?
Of course.
Give me your opinion.
Look, this isn't a secret, dude. This isn't a secret.
Yeah, I know. You're an expert.
You know, you're posting about what RK Jr. had to say about JFK. Alan Dulles was a pimple. He wasn't in charge of the assassination. He was the brains. There's a book by David Talbot called The Devil's Chessboard that makes that claim. I tell you categorically it's false. That's deception. That's misleading. That's a red herring. It was Lyndon. It was all the way with LBJ. He was the inspiration. He lost the nomination in 1960 in L.A. to JFK, forced himself on the ticket so Jack would be taken out and he'd accede to the presidency, guaranteed no one who participated in the assassination would ever suffer as a consequence. He was the only person who could be in the position to do that as a new president of the United States. So I'm worried just a little that you may be taking for granted everything he had to say on that occasion was true, when I guarantee you at least some of it, as I'm explaining.
Well, there was a little bit of it that's true. Now, what I suggest you do, because I'm going to put the documents up, and I'm going to try to contact him wherever his office is, and send him an email and call him and so forth, but I'm going to give him the broadcast, a link to this broadcast. But I want you to get into some details on what you know about John Kennedy, because this is very important. They're going to go after him. This Tulsi Gabbard. Oh, I love this woman. I love her. I mean, as far as an ex-military officer in Iraq, I think it was, plus the fact that she became a congressman of Hawaii. Now she's going to be National Intelligence Director of National Intelligence. And she said she's going to start making sure that people are arrested and stuff. Now, I see see an FBI agent, former FBI agent, tied to the Biden son's investigations, and two IRS whistleblowers and the FBI agent had resigned the FBI, and the two whistleblowers from the IRS. Now, this was in the past 24 hours. And they're saying, he says, oh, I like Pactel or whatever, what's his name, going to take over the FBI. Anyway, he says, I like him. He says, now he said he's going to go
Cash
in.
Patel.
Yeah, he says he's.
Cash Patel.
Yeah, he's a former U.S. attorney, folks, straight shooter the whole bit. Anyway, he says, he said this FBI agent says, former FBI agent resigned after this situation with Biden. He says, yeah, he says he's going to go clean the FBI building out in Washington. He says he doesn't have to. All he has to do is clear out the fifth floor. The fifth floor is where they run the operations called FBI Human Resources. This is where Joint Task Force Group operates out of. These are the assassins that organize assassinations on people in America, as well as worldwide. This is the FBI killer teams, okay? And he said that they need to go arrest everybody and clean out that floor. I thought that was interesting. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, I'm sure he's right about that.
Tell us about
Jim. He's right about a whole lot of issues. I'm rather concerned, actually, though, that he was following the David Talbot line, because I established that Talbot was bad news a very long time ago.
Okay, tell us who...
He with Jefferson Morley went into the Havana community to try to track down information about David Sanchez Morales, who played a key role in the assassination, and they let it be known they had a lot of money, what they were looking for, so everyone clammed up. In other words, he deliberately sabotaged the effort to bury information about David Morales, where... Edward Hunt, when he was on his deathbed, he believed he was dying. He actually recovered, but he thought he was near death. Told his son, St. John, with whom I've spoken to about this, and has been published, for example, in Rolling Stone, that the chain of command went from Lyndon Johnson to Court Meyer, who was CIA, to David Atlee Phillips, who was CIA Western Hemisphere, to William Harvey, who was CIA assassination worldwide, to David Sanchez Morales for Dallas. And they used George Herbert Walker Bush and Edward Lansdale as supervisors and coordinators. Lansdale appears to have positioned the shooters and determined the sequence of shots. Bush himself was actually in the Daltech supervised anti-Castro Cuban shooter by the name of Tony Nestor Escadro, who fired three shots using a Mannlicher Carcano, the only unsilent shots to create the acoustical impression of only three shots having been fired. It was so unreliable, he had two misses, one off to the left in a distant curving inch of bystander, another in a chrome strip above the limousine, but after the driver, William Greer, brought the limousine to a halt and everyone was jostled forward, he fired a shot that hit Jack in the back of the head. He slumped forward, Jack eased him back up, and then he was hit by two other shots, one by a mob shooter, Frank Sturgis, in the right temple, and another by Israeli shooter, Clyde Forsum, whom I believe was in the... Forshaw, who I believe was in the curbside sewer in the side of the head. I mean, those were in addition to two previous shots. He'd been hit in the back by a deputy sheriff firing from the top of the county records building, a guy named Harry Weatherford, using a .30-06 to implant a Mannlicher Carcano bullet that had been previously fired from the Mannlicher Carcano Escadro was using as proof that it was done with a Mannlicher Carcano. In a plastic collar known as a sabot. This was a very shallow shot, probably because it was a hand load and he didn't get it quite right. And only about as far as a second knuckle on your little finger in the back. And he was also shot in the throat by a bullet that passed through the windshield by Air Force shooter by the name of Jack Lawrence, who was inside the Dribble Underpass using a rifle he appears to have been given by Curtis LeMay. So he'd know for a certainty that the government was, authorizing the assassination of the President of the United States. And
that shallow shot in the back appears to have worked its way out, such as Sam Kinney, who was a driver of the Secret Service Cadillac, was given a bucket of sponge and water to wash out the blood and brains in the back seat, which is already destruction of evidence, and told his neighbor he found a whole bullet there and was unsure what to do with it, so he took it inside, left it on a stretcher, where it would later be cited as the magic bullet. But of course, there wasn't anything magic about any of it. There were shooters at 8 different locations. They fired between 10 and 12 shots, depending on how many. Malcolm Mack Wallace, who was Lyndon's personal hitman, fired from the book depository at John Connolly in the mistaken belief that he was the liberal Texas Senator Ralph Yarborough, whom Lyndon despised. He tried to get Connolly out of the vehicle. He and Jack had a huge argument that morning, but Jack overrode him on the ground that the chief executive of the state should ride with the chief executive of the United States, and it was too late to get the word out. But it had the fascinating consequence of complicating the politics, because no one believed that Lyndon would ever put his dear friend and crony, John Connolly, in harm's way. But it was inadvertent. It wasn't by design, but it did tend to give them a pass for some time that Lyndon was involved. But he rather openly admitted it to Madeline Duncan Brown on New Year's Eve when they had a rendezvous in the Driscoll Hotel, and she shared with him rumors rampant in Dallas at the time that he'd been involved, since no one stood to gain more personally. And he told her that the CIA and the oil boys had decided that Jack had to be taken out. But it was Lyndon's plan from the beginning. It originated in 1960, and there's a brilliant book about it called Bloody Treason, about the assassination and how the perfect assassination plot involved bringing together the Secret Service with the Mafia, with the CIA, with the Anti-Castro, and Lyndon Johnson. And that's how it played out.
You know, I know one thing. Lee Harvey Oswald, he was recruited after the Marine Corps. He was recruited in the CIA, is what I heard. And he was running an operation. They used him as a patsy and the whole bit. Now, I met his ex-wife, that he was married to when he was assassinated, when I was living in Dallas. She was working in a 7-Eleven store. I couldn't believe it. And I looked at her, and I recognized her, and I said, "Are you so-and-so?" She says, "Yes." So we had a little private talk. Now, I'm also aware that my ex-father-in-law, Leonard Millman, the guy that shot Lee Harvey Oswald, what was his name? Jim?
Well, it's supposed to be Jack Ruby, but yep, he was actually an FBI agent by the name of Bookout.
Okay, now I'm aware of this. Jack Ruby...
Wearing Ruby's clothing.
Okay,
that's fascinating.
Let me explain what I know about Jack Ruby. And he may just have been a front for the whole damn thing. But Jack Ruby, my ex-father-in-law, was a Jewish crime syndicate in America. He took over from Meyer Lansky when Meyer Lansky died in the 70s. And he inherited him and the Italian. He was over in Italy. But he controlled New York. And when he died, Millman got it. The 12 Disciples of Satan. George Herbert Walker Bush was one of the 12 Disciples of Satan. Did human sacrifices twice a year, the summer and winter solstice in Denver on kids. They're sick fucking puppies. Here's the point. Leonard Millman financed the Jewish mob, financed Jack Ruby's nightclub in Dallas and Chicago. He financed it. And all of a sudden, Jack Ruby, and he had had it for about a year, year and a half. He supposedly had cancer or some crap. And Jack Ruby goes down there and plays Patsy or whatever, if you're saying an FBI agent shot him. So that shows the Jewish mob and the CIA combined were involved in that assassination. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Stu, do you have any idea how much I've done on this?
I know you've done it a hell of a lot. Hang on a second. Hang on.
Today, edition of Doug's Three Songs.
Hello.
I'm on the phone. I'll see you in a little while.
We were in there. I said, after the hardware store for that. Yeah, I'll pull it off in about half an hour. And I'll run to the hardware store if I have to get it.
I was going to go by, I couldn't remember what I was talking about.
Yeah, it's a filter.
Oh, a filter, don't know what size it is.
Yeah, I got to measure it.
Okay.
Sorry, gentlemen. You there?
Yeah.
Joe, Jim, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jim. Jim?
You know what I'm saying? If you want a nice overview, go to my BitChute channel, Jim Vetzer, and check out JFK Special, 18 November 2021, dedicated to Oliver Stone. You'll understand what happened, who was involved, and how it all played out.
You know, Brian Quigg was a friend of mine, and he was working for the Arizona Republic. What's the name of the paper down there the homeless were handing out, Joe? Arizona?
Grapevine.
Yeah. He worked for it. And
Grapevine.
So did Rossmacher. Now, Rossmacher was a Republic newspaper reporter. And he was working with Bowles down there. And Bowles was involved in all kinds of stuff. Joe can get into it. But there was a lot of land fraud involving HUD and Millman out of Denver and Larry Mizell. And they were stealing a property out of HUD. They were just claiming it was theirs and getting them off the HUD records as, repoed and to be fixed up. They were doing a lot of stuff, but there was other stuff the Bulls got into. But they were Arizona Republic newspapers. Well, I met Rossmacher one time when I was down there, met Joe, met quite a few people, but I met Rossmacher. Now, he had been working with the Arizona Republic, and Brian Quigg worked for the other one that Joe just mentioned. And Brian became a good friend. And he lived in a house right behind the Arizona Biltmore Hotel. And Mike's father-in-law, Leonard Millman, had a house in there. And Larry Mizell, Norman Brownstein, CIA attorney to Daddy Bush, when the CIA director had control Bill Barr and people like that. They had houses in there. Charles Keating's brother had a house in there. Brian was exposing Charles Keating for me. He was going down to a building down there in, I forgot the street, where on a floor, Charles Keating's office was down one way, and some general, I forgot his name, was down the other way. Same building, same floor. And he'd go to the trash can, and he'd find secret documents and stuff all the time, bank accounts, all kinds of shit. So Brian was working with me all the time. And we even got stuff. I got stuff published in Time Magazine, all kinds of stuff. But Jonathan Beatty. But Brian Rossmacher. He was shot behind the ear because he did a report, and it turned out to be the Israeli Mossad. And a 22 spun around, and it came out of his eyeball and said, spinning his brain, killing him. And he went to the hospital, and they had him in there for 2 weeks, and the doctor says, how are you going to pay for this? He says, I don't have any insurance. He says, well, I'm going to forgive you of your debt, $250,000. And he forgave him because he says, I love your stories in the Arizona Republic newspaper. But the things that they came up with, Jim, tied to so much of what Robert Kennedy was saying. And here's the one statement in his video, besides the Kennedys, and I think you've got it right, Jim, because I've heard about the different ones, and you mentioned two or three names in there. But Kennedy brought up the fact that the reason we're sending $100 billion worth of weapons over to the Ukraine, or sending $100 billion to Israel, is because there's four defense contractors. Raytheon, which was Daddy Bush's company, they had Westar Satellite, E-Systems Dallas, because Otis Johnson worked there for a short period of time. He had to. They were punishing him. But E-Systems shoots people, about 10 million people in the United States, every night, during the night, hits their house with an energy weapon. And after 3 to 5 years, your immune system's broke down if you're not taking magnesium, potassium, and zinc, and iron. It breaks it down. Then all of a sudden you catch a cold and turns pneumonia and you're dead. They're doing it that many people. Raytheon. Now they're a defense contractor, number one. Then you got Boeing. Then you got General Dynamics, and then there was a fourth one I can't think of who Kennedy mentioned in there, but they're all defense contractors. They're making money off all these weapons and so forth. They're going to foreign countries, increasing our debt, giving them $100 billion or $100 million here and $100 million there and so forth. But do you know who owns those defense contractors? BlackRock, Blackstone, the largest bank in the United States that controls the U.S. Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury. It was created out of Milman and Mizell in Denver, Colorado, through Silverado Savings and Loan, Neil Bush director. And it was narcotics money laundering from the Clintons in Mena, Arkansas, and Ollie North and all of them that were laundering that $9 trillion in 12 years into Silverado. And Milman and Mizell were pumping the money into BlackRock, a new company that they had set up, or Blackstone, I think that they called it then, a new company they set up to go buy shopping centers and so forth that they could rehab. And he made the deal with Pete Peterson, who's on the Council of Foreign Relations, which is a New World Order think tank and a bunch of assholes, okay, a bunch of Satanists, 99% of them. Anyway, he was on he's a board of directors member. Milman was on the Council of Foreign Relations as well, and so was Mizell, or was. Now, he set up BlackRock to buy shopping centers. Later, now this was in 1987, 88, financing with drug money. In 1997, they created BlackRock, or Blackstone, I think it's called, the financial group. Now it's the largest bank. But in the video, he talked about these defense contractors and all the money that they're making, and we're financing, giving them to them. But BlackRock, Stone Street, and Vanguard are the three financial institutions that own all four of those military companies.
State Street.
You're correct on that. Where does it go right back to? Originally, it was Larry Mizell and Leonard Milman set those companies up. Now, think about this. $1 of drug money injected into a corporation under U.S. federal law, they can confiscate everything from you. The government can. I heard a report that Larry Flint, who runs Stone Street now for Mizell, his company, BlackRock, owns 2/3 of the corporations around the world. 2/3 of them. Think of that. $1 drug money, they can confiscate those corporations. And Larry Mizell has laundered so much drug money, and I can prove it in the whole bit. That's what I want to see. I want to see Trump confiscate all their assets and pay off our debt with the assets. And then we have money to run on for 200 years. Just a brain fart, Jim. Go ahead. Joe, you got anything to add to that?
No.
Well, Jim, what else is on the agenda? You think they're going to start World War III before Trump gets in?
They'd sure like that to happen, and it appears the U.S. paved the way for the jihadists to overthrow Assad before Trump came into office. They're doing everything they can to muck things up. You got the EPA issuing a directive that we're not going to be able to even manufacture gasoline engine cars after 2035, which is just as lunatic as it gets. The electric vehicles have been a calamitous failure on every count, and the very idea that they would want to turn the economy over is to guarantee the economy becomes 100% non-functional. Because you need the gas and oil plants, nuclear, to produce the electricity in the first place. It's very messy and damaging to the environment to produce the lithium batteries. They have all kinds of problems. They're incredibly expensive. They tend to catch fire spontaneously. The time consumed in charging them makes it a waste. You know, you got to spend hours instead of minutes. have limited range. It's a catastrophe, but that's what happens when you have a government that's actually out to destroy a nation. They're being very successful at doing it.
Now, if I may add something to this. Electric cars are great. They're faster than gas cars on the strips. The whole bit. They're great. And Tesla's got a great car, but here's the problem. You're right about the lithium batteries. They need to go to the old acid-filled batteries, like they put in so many cars, the older cars have. Not the new ones, electric. But here's the key. Years ago, because I thought about doing it in cars, because I installed 3 solar systems in houses, full of Voltex with the batteries and little windmills that were like, they take the heat out of the attic, but they were electric. Menards was selling them. Couldn't find anybody else in the country. Even direct on the windmills, I was buying them. Or not the windmills, but the photovoltaics. I saw years ago. Now, this is back before they car crashed me and ruined me, basically. And broke my neck and back, everything else, in 2010. And I saw somebody that was on the internet, and they had solar panel. They had a little advertisement because some patriot sent it to me, where they were gluing, they custom ordered for your car, and they manufacture it, and they glued it down as a kit, or sell you the kit. Well, if they did the installation, they glued it down with some kind of silicone special stuff on top of the roof, where it's feeding the batteries. But they added all these additional batteries other than the lithium batteries and racks and everything, because it took a little bit more in the older style acid-filled batteries. But they did this, and they had the racks to put it in your trunk and everything else, or under the hood, wherever they put it. But I thought that was a pretty good idea, but they were doing it for $10,000 installation, and they'd sell you the whole kit, including batteries. You go pick up at Walmart and a whole bit for $6,000. Now, that would run a car. It never stops running. Now, that's a good idea for electric cars. And I'm going to throw something else out at you that I saw, and you're right about this gas station stuff, because I stopped at one of them at a Hy-Vee and asked this one girl, I said, if you could have your car go without recharging, I asked her how much it cost her, because I said, here's what I thought about doing. I tell her the story about the gluing down on the top. She, oh, put flyers up around these gas stations, you'll make millions. I'm giving ideas to people out here. Look into it. We can start a free market and eliminate this problem of them putting us on the power grid, okay? Very serious. Now, gas makes up for the difference. But it's a brain fart, food for thought to do this. But I don't know whether you've seen Musk's latest toy. Okay, he makes electric cars, fabulous. He makes, you know, cruises themselves, which is dangerous. But the missile launch and being able to come back and land it right in a slot and reuse things. This guy's brilliant. His scientists are brilliant. But they came up with a motor vehicle. Listen to this, Jim. Joe, listen to this. He came up with a motor vehicle, a van, go camping in, live in, whatever. I mean, this is like the Mercedes $1,500,000 van they've got, okay? Or whichever company it was. He's got it for $15,000 to $16,000. They're getting ready to start production of them. They showed a model in an advertisement I saw on the internet over the weekend, or yesterday. You can't buy a van at probably $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, I would think, from GM or, you know, Ford or any of them. I haven't checked the cost, but $15,000 to $16,000 for a Tesla van. It's all decked out, Jim. You gotta punch it in the internet, and Joe will take a look. Okay, this is fantastic. I mean, it's got everything in it you could think of to go camping in or live in, because there's a lot of people that are living in their vehicles. But anyway, I thought I'd throw that out there. Now, Jim, what else do you think, or what do you want to mention before we close?
Still, I think we're good.
Joe, what about you?
No, we're good.
Okay, I want to mention one last thing. I never heard of the Hanukkah, being on the same day as Christmas on December the 25th. So I dig on it. There's only been 4 times since 1900 has it fell on Christmas Day. I thought that was very, very unusual. Now I see a video that's floating around on the internet. I'm kind of looking around. And they're seeing like a, you know, down in Miami, it was about 6 months or 9 months ago, where in a shopping center down there where, you know, about 80% black shoppers and the other 20% Hispanic and white. And they come tumbling out of the shopping center after they reported seeing a 10 or 12 foot a demon or something inside two of them, shadows inside the mall. And this was on the news. It was all over the place. Well, somebody put out a video. They said 3 days ago, they spotted some image of Christ out in California. He videotaped the thing. And he looked at it and went, whoa, is that an angel or is that Christ? Then there's another part of this video or another video that says, in Jerusalem recently, Israelis saw this image that they said it looked like Jesus, and that there were two angels, one on each side of him. And someone videotaped this and caught an image. It's very interesting. I'm going to put that up on my website, Jim and Joe. Underneath this broadcast of other stuff, Kennedy's deal and a whole bit. But Jim, I'm going to hook you up with Robert Kennedy, and you're going to tell him what the facts are, okay?
Well, I've already given him a copy of my book, my fourth book on JFK, so I'm just disturbed that this interview was so far off the mark about who was really behind it all, because it most assuredly was not Alan Dulles.
Okay, buddy, send me a copy or send me a picture of your book and the link that it goes to on your website where people can buy it. Email it to me and I'll, or text it to me and I'll put it up on my site and won't charge you anything, okay?
Sure.
Okay. Give out your website, Jim.
JamesHFetzer.org and my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, and I'm on Twitter, @ Jim Fetzer.
All right. Jim, I want to thank you, and Joe, I want to thank you, and I want you both to have a good day. We'll talk.